Here shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we're very grateful that you're here with us and how it ought to solemnize our hearts to put away all irreverence and anything which smacks of the world, and especially anything, Lord, which would do despot to your word in any way, shape, or form. Thou art the keeper of your word, Lord, and we're trusting you to keep that word and thereby keep us, because we are committed to you who is the word, and we're grateful now that that commitment is irrevocable, that somehow, Lord, by grace and faith, we do not ever intend to revoke it from our side, especially since we know that this is the end and there is tragedy ahead for those that add or take. And we, therefore, Lord, want to be one with it, and we know that you alone can help us. So here we stand, Lord, in the presence of grace and mercy, and are very, very happy that it is so, that it's out of our hands, for you are the faithful keeper of that which pertains to our salvation. We give thee glory as we commend ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, there's so much to be said, so many points that are necessary to go into, but we'll try to get things briefly said as possible, though I don't guarantee anything along that line. To be pointed, hopefully, even more than brevity, so that you understand the things of this hour. Now, of course, we have much controversy concerning the presence of the Lord, and that goes without saying, that's bound to be. And we'll sort of let that ride, but Brother Branham, in preaching the token, mentioned that concerning the fact of the shedding of the blood at the time of Moses, which was the, he called the chemistry, which simply meant the blood in its chemistry was put upon the doorpost, signifying that a life had been shed for the remission of sins, and that they were taking refuge under the blood. Actually, you can carry that to the place where I think people are today. They worry too much about the blood. Is it on the mercy seat? Is it not on the mercy seat? Is it there? Is it not there? The fact is, if you are not born again, what does the blood do for you as per this hour? Now, down the road for the souls under the altar, foolish virgin, sure. But if the life that was in the blood is not upon you, you're not born again and you're going to miss it anyway. And we're talking about a bride. So he was saying here to the people, now Moses said, you must come under the blood, signifying a life was shed. And the word Passover is meaningful in that that was the night that the Lord kept guard. All right? What if the blood was shed and the Lord wasn't keeping guard? They wouldn't have got off. They wouldn't have got out of Egypt. They wouldn't have gone to the promised land. The Red Sea would not have opened. It was the fact that he was there, but they had applied what he gave them to apply. Now he is here today. But if you are not truly born again, and this is the danger of this message, people can say, oh, I believe the message. Rabbi, I believe it's a great thing, that shedding of the blood, but have you put it on your doorpost? Well, now I'll tell you what, now that's just a great thing. And I believe Moses is right. And I can see where that's right in line with what Abraham did, but listen, is it on your doorpost? Now see, he's here in our midst, but is he in our hearts? Now the other people say, he's in our hearts, but he's not here. Now somebody is mixed up. Somebody is mixed up, because if he is in your heart and you don't know that he is here. You follow me? Now the question arises, where do you stand this morning? Are you really full of the Holy Ghost and know it? Do you really know that he's here? The two have to come together. And if they don't come together, they're, come on. It just isn't working out. So Brother Branham said he said the token could only come at evening time. Well, I can qualify that all through Scripture. He only came at evening time. When did God come down as his own token and surety to a race that needed help? The first time, when Adam and Eve got into sin, it was evening time. The shadows had fallen. In the cool of the night, the Lord came down and said, Adam, where are you? He said, I just ain't going to appear. I'm naked. I'm hiding. So every age ends in blackout. And every age is when the token comes. So we got ages and we understand that. But Brother Branham was not referring to that. He's referring to the last blackout when the token himself, God himself, the great baptizer came and stood amongst us. He himself sealing in those that had been previously sealed unto God, taking them into the promised land. And that's why he preached that sermon, because many people came and they said, oh, we believe in Brother Branham. Oh, sure, we believe in Brother Branham. Yes, great prophet of God, great prophet of God. Come on. No more believed in him than nothing. Well, I'll categorize that. That's the lamp, so what? Am I going to eat it? Chomp, chomp, chomp. What about that lamp anyway? Look, it's not a part of me. It doesn't really mean anything. So fat, it's there. And it's got a use. Now look. A William Branham prophet signified the presence of God, period. God. God himself, almighty, eternal, invisible, omnipotent, omniscient God. There he was. They don't believe that. They say, well, he's here, he's always been here. 2,000 years he's been here, so on and so forth. Well, that's okay by me. They can believe what they want. But that's not true. He is here. So Brother Branham said, all right, I want you people to know you've seen me, you've seen the ministry. You know irrevocably, you know positively. There is no doubt about it. You know he's here. Now, what about you? What about his being here? And you are not filled with the Holy Ghost. These things have people's minds so clouded and confused that they don't understand what we are preaching any more than you understood what Brother Branham was preaching. All you've got to do is look at the present history, and you can see that the people that touted Brother Branham the most, that actually had dreams and visions and revelations concerning him, no more stand with him than nothing in this hour. So, Brother Branham's sermon was tremendous. And it was this. He is here. As he has not been here previously for 2,000 years. The great potential of him being in our midst is now fulfilled. But what about you? You see it. You talk about it. But are you really one of his by the rebirth? This is what he said was the greatest sermon he preached. The sermon was on his heart for literally years. Maybe not years, but maybe months and months concerning that he wanted to bring the people. And he finally brought it to them. All right. Last week, we went into corruptibility, putting on incorruptibility. And we read out of 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. It tells you there's going to be a change in everybody and everything. In the morning, twinkling night, the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound the dead, and Christ shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed, for this mortal, this corruptible rather, must put on incorruptibility. Now, it's actually this corruptibility must put on incorruptibility, and the literal rending there is rotting or wearing away as that which erodes with the usage. Like I can rub on this lapel here and rub on it, and pretty soon that you call threadbare, and pretty soon there aren't any threads. It's gone. So your body is in a state of decay until finally it is resolved in a state to which there is no further reduction, which would be back to gases. For this which is corrupting must put on that which cannot be corrupted or cannot corrupt. And this which is death doomed must put on that which death cannot touch. So in this corruptibility, that which is rotting and decaying and passing away shall I put on that which cannot be touched. And this death doomed hath put on that which cannot be touched by death. Then at that point shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in a victory. Now there again, as Brother Branham said, bringing the word to pass is God's interpretation. You don't know what this is, and I don't know what this is. There is no way you can tell. But when it happens, you'll know it. You'll understand it. O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I said last Sunday, what is this speaking of? The body. And make no mistake about it. This is a physical change that takes place in the bodies of the living. And it is the living member's answer to the resurrection of the decaying bodies of the dead, or the decayed bodies of the dead. The dead come back from ashes, dust, liquids, bone particles, and even gases, as they are recreated into the glorious forms that God has predestinated for them. As it says over here in Marriage and Divorce, let me get that. Page 33. And paragraph 2 is what I want to read. So you got to look for it yourself. But hallelujah, there will come a time when it won't be no more sex. But God shall call his children from the dust back like they were in the original. Not through any woman, but through the molding of the clay and the cosmic lights and the petroleum, he'll create again like he did Adam the first time. All right. The living, with the living it is not so. They are changed without dying to the same glorious forms. Corruptibility, that which is corrupting, but not fully and finally corrupted, puts on what cannot be corrupted, and therefore stops further and complete corruption in and because of death. In other words, that's what causes corruption, is death. So death is working in the body now. A great victory takes place, as the Bible says. Never was it seen in the 6,000 years of the gladiatorial contest of death against man that a whole group gained a victory and temporarily stalled death in his tracks. And this whole group escaped irrevocably. We mentioned that it's like a gladiatorial combat, the gladiators in the arena. Death is always a spectacle. It's not a circus, but it's always a spectacle. It is a terrible thing to view and to see. Now, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians again, the 15th chapter, and we'll read in verses 51 to 54, a repeat. And behold, I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, we're all going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Rather, not the dead in Christ, I'm going to get into here, into 1 Thessalonians 4, is my time to get in there. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, because that's what I'm going to go to right away. We should be changed, for this corruptibility must be an incorruptibility, and this mortality, immortality. So when this corruptibility shall have put incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put immortality, then it will be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in a victory. That word also in the Greek can mean forever. In other words, you don't need to ever worry about dying again, like it's in the second death, as it says in Revelation. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and so on. Now, it is evident from 1 Corinthians 15:51, which we read here, to 54, that this deals with the changing of the physical bodies of both dead and living. Because this is what Paul is talking about, and this belongs in what I was already getting into quoting, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and reading verses 13 to 18, but I wouldn't have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we send to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the presence of the Lord shall not take precedence over them which are asleep. That's the dead ones. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. Now, you're looking at the understanding here of the resurrection of the dead. Will God bring forth with Jesus? Now, that is literally Romans 8 and 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now that's talking about God. He that raised up Christ, that's God, from the dead, shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, the same Spirit that raised Jesus, the same Spirit, but not all of it, that dwells in you. But all of that Spirit, that same God, is going to bring you forth in an immortal body. That's what it says. Those dead will God bring forth with Jesus. It's the very same words. Now, going back again to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and the 15th verse. But this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the presence of the Lord shall in no wise take precedence over them that are asleep. Now that is very much 1 Corinthians 15:20-23. But now is Christ risen from the dead? How? God brought him forth and become the first fruits of them that slept. God brought him forth before he brought any other out of the grave. So he is the first one to die and to come forth eternally to never die again. Now, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now that tells you everyone in Adam is going to come forth in a resurrection unto life. Now watch. Every man in his own order. Now, Christ the first fruits. Now already a resurrection has taken place, the first half of the first resurrection. They have come forth. Now, afterward, they that are Christ at his presence. Now they were there at his presence. Now he went down into hell, upper and lower Sheol. And in lower Sheol, in a theophany form, he preached to those that are lost. Then in the same spirit, not glorified, but in the spirit,
in that body, he brought them out, and God raised those people, gave them a glorified body from the earth, the same as Jesus went into his glorified body, his body which was of the earth, lying in that cave. Now, he was the first one to receive. As his body came forth from the cave, so the other bodies came forth from the cave also. Now, every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are there at his presence. Now, they're in an order. Now, the first order was, already they've come forth in his presence. Now, he's present again today, and there's going to be another bunch come forth. Then again, at the white throne, there'll be another bunch come forth. See? And, of course, that's separated, as it were, sheep from goats. They're going to come forth in their own order. Now, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at over here in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th verse, as it says, they are going to receive their change at his presence, and this describes the change. All right. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with them. This is also 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. Notice what it says. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Now you'll notice that he mentions there, presence and a last trump. So there's various things that are going together at that particular time. So, 1 Thessalonians 4:14 is 1 Thessalonians 15:52, which verse should end at, raised incorruptible, which we ended it. See, we didn't go on reading anymore. Now then, 1 Thessalonians 4:15, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them, it's the 15th verse, for this sanctified by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the presence of the Lord shall not take precedence over them which are asleep. Now there is no doubt that the last phrase of 1 Thessalonians 15:52, and we shall all be changed, that refers to the living, which is what you find here. We which are alive and remain under the presence of the Lord. Now, remember, the dead are going to be raised at that time, and we're alive, remaining at that time. And that's where it says over here in 1 Corinthians 15 and in 52, and we shall be changed. He's speaking concerning the living. Now, then we go on to verse 53. For this corruptible, or that which is dying, rotting, decaying, must put on that which cannot die, which cannot corrupt, which cannot change. And this, which is death doomed, it's already got a sentence passed upon it, has got to come to a place where there is that which no sentence can be passed upon it. Can't die. And then he says, here, so when this corruptibility shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, brought to that state then is described in Scripture, death is swallowed up in a victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, that word is not grave, it's O death. Where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory to our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. When those two things happen, that is, the dead are brought out of the ground, the living are changed, then it is time for 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the last phrase, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, who are already changed, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now you notice that there is a difference between the two. And there has to be a difference. Because the first group goes up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, invisible and not even known to the world that they're here, only to the bride. But the bride, because she's visible and known to the world, she'll be taken a few at a time. Then she'll be caught up. So you can see you're dealing with differences in this particular respect. Now, you of course noticed that we left out verse 16, all but the last portion in 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Now, we left that out in matching 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. But we already saw from 1 Thessalonians 4:14 and 15, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, them also which sleep in Jesus must God bring forth, bring out of the graves, the same as he brought Jesus out. For this we see unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the presence of the Lord shall not in any way prevent, hinder, take precedence, whichever way you want to put it, over them which are asleep, combined with 1 Corinthians 15 and 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, they that are Christ at his presence. Now combine the two, the dead would come out in a resurrection of immortality. That's what's going to happen. And we saw the risen dead are caught up in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, last phrase. And 17 follows, then we which are alive and remain, be caught up together in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, so will ever be. shows that the living goes right up on their heels. Now you see what I'm saying? That you don't find written in verse 16 what's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. See? But you see in 1 Corinthians 15 how you get your change. You already see in here how the dead get their change. Then you see in here how the dead are caught up. Then you see in here how the living are caught up, so that you know. You know positively that it's in the presence that the living get their change, the same as in the presence the dead come out of the ground. You follow how we put it together? All right. So then, we might say there's a mystery in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And that's the mystery that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you mystery. We'll not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. And that mystery is verse 53. This corruptibility must put on incorruptibility, and this mortal must put in mortality. You say, what is that little mystery? It's simple as ABC, because it says in his presence he's going to bring forth the dead. And they're going to be caught up. And it says, well, we're going to be caught up. How are you going to be caught up? You're going to be changed. And the presence does it. In other words, what we are talking about, as it takes God himself to come on the scene and raise the dead, it takes God himself to be on the scene to change the living. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 does not mention 1 Corinthians 15 and 53. This corruptible, putting on incorruption. This mortal, putting on immortality. But it is there just the same. Or the living would never be caught up. Now you say, how is that? Well, it tells you right here in 1 Corinthians 15 and 51, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now notice over in here, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all made alike. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ in his presence. That's the coming, when he comes down here to do it. And then he says here, I'm going to show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're going to be changed. Now watch over here. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also sleep in Jesus, will God bring forth with him, and we which are alive, at that particular time, we are going to be changed. I'm not adding one word. It's already in the Bible. For this we send you that are living, and remaining at the time of his presence. See? What's going to happen at the time of his presence? In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall all be changed. For this corrupting flesh is going to stop corrupting. This dying flesh is going to stop dying. Why? Something is going to happen to it. Something is going to be put on to stop it. And at that time, there is no more rotting, there is no more decaying, there is no more dying, and death is swallowed up. Death loses its sting. It no longer has a victory. Now, so far, so good. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15, 35 to 42. Now, these are things, you see, that the people don't understand, the presence of God don't understand. At least they don't understand it my way. I don't know how they understand it, but they understand something. Or they think they do. All right. 1 Corinthians 15, 35. But some will say, man will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Now that says, how are the dead raised up? Now, it doesn't say the living. It said dead. Now, it tells you this. It said, now, hey, what, don't you guys understand nature? Thou sowest, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but a bare grain. Now, that tells you what I said the other day. The attributes. A beautiful flower. Here's a beautiful rose. Here's say, I see a rose. You don't see a rose. You think you see a rose. You don't see a rose. No way. See, because rose is a light. No man can see light. No way. Tell you what you do. You get the rose seed. And you get the highest powered microscope the world's ever seen or ever will see. You can't see one sign of rose. But tell you what you do. You go ahead and put that in the soil with the proper fertilizer, water, and sunshine, and you will see manifestation. But you won't see life. No man can see life. So, this is what we're looking at here. You sow something as a grain. Now, you don't sow the body. You sow what is going to bring a body in order to manifest itself. Now, it may have bare grain, maybe wheat, oats, rye, barley, you name it. But God gives it a body that pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Notice that the seed has a body. He didn't say the body is a seed. You should go downstairs and buy, downtown and buy me 50 cents worth of seed. Oh, listen, I'd rob every bank in the world if you could do that. I guarantee you, I'd shoot any man just as over a dog. You say, why do you say that? Because you can't do it. You go down and buy some bodies. You can't separate the body from the seed, though, can you? Can't separate it from the life. I'm talking about you going to get the seed. Never mind the body. And I say, now you brought me back a bunch of bodies with seed in it. Now I just want the seed. You say, well, you got to be nuts. Sure. That's why it's nuts to say, I'll give you $5 billion and rob a bank and kill every man and get some away to get you the money for it. Because you see, there's no way you're going to get that seed. You can't do it. How'd you pick it up? I'll tell you what you do. Let's bring in a couple of glasses of water. Pass around. I want each one of you to pour a little bit of water in your hand. And then take that and put it under a microscope. And it's full of life. You didn't even think of it this minute. It's because there's no chlorine in that water, see, to kill it. It's got some good bacteria in it. Won't hurt you. Little things swimming all around there. And yet the little thing swimming around there is not life. It's an evidence of life. It's a manifestation. See what I'm talking about here? Now, it said God has whatever life left the covering, see, or is in the covering, will come back. And God gives the body according to that life. What if you go down a sinner? You'll come back a sinner. If you go down born again, you'll come back with a born again body. See, that's what he's saying here. God gives a body that pleased him. Every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. One flesh of men, a flesh of beast. How can you cross then a monkey with a woman or vice versa? Fishes, how can you cross them with animals? You can't do it. Birds with beasts, you can't do it. See? Why? Because you're dealing with forms of life. The genuine seed. Now, celestial bodies. Bodies terrestrial. The glory celestial is one, the glory terrestrial is another. One glory of the sun. One of the moon. One of the stars. Each star differs in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown corruptible, raised incorruptible. Now it tells you right there that the resurrection body is no different from the person standing here that gets changed. Now, so natural raised to spiritual. There is a natural body, there's a spiritual. It's written the first man Adam was a living soul, the last was a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. After that which is spiritual. What's he talking about? The body. Now, Adam was sown or made a spirit being before he put in flesh. He already was, as the scripture said, how did he put it there, that he was a living soul and he'd come back as one. Come back with a body to match it. He never had a body to match it in the first place. Given a temporary body. That's right. Was temporary. Howbeit that was not spiritual, which is first that which is natural, after that was spiritual. The first man is the earth, earthy, second man, Lord of heaven. As is the earthy day that are earthy, as the heavenly day that are heavenly. Now listen, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly what? Body. Who's got the heavenly body? The very body that God made for himself and glorified. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, so on. Let's get back to those verses here. Where it says there is verse 40, a celestial body, terrestrial, the glory celestial, one glory terrestrial, another, one glorious sun, one a moon, and so on. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in glory. Now, with that we go quickly to verse 54. For this corruptibility must put on incorruption. Incorruptibility. This mortal must put on immortality. Then it'll be brought to pass the saying written, death is swallowed up in a victory. Now, you'll notice that it doesn't fit. Because it says here, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. But over here it says it is already, when this corruptibility shall have put on incorruptibility. It doesn't say about it being sown. It doesn't say about it dying. So therefore, this is not a resurrection. So therefore, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now let's go back and read it so we know just what we're talking about here. I mean 4:14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also them who sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. That is not by any means 1 Corinthians 15:54. This corruptibility shall put on incorruptibility. Thus, the resurrection is not by itself at least, death swallowed. Nor is it corruptibility, that which is dying, putting on incorruptibility. 1 Corinthians 15:53-54 is when the dying stop dying and they start living. It is when the decaying stops decaying and the reverse processes begin in our bodies, so we put on a wholeness, the which can never deteriorate, so different from the beginning. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:54b, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is conquered literally. It's over forever. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:54b, death is swallowed up in a victory, is 1 Corinthians 15:54a, the first part. So when this corruptible shall have put in corruption, and this mortal shall have put in mortality, he's talking the living, the dead are here with us already, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in a victory, and it's explained in 55-57. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Decay, cessation of life, is from the sting of death. Death stings, brings the grave. But death is no longer victorious. For it says here that something has happened. Whatever it was that gave death its power or sting or strength or authority, even its existence, has been actually removed. Now, what was the power, the authority, or the creator of death? So that when that is gone, death is gone, there is no more death. Now, we saw last Sunday, there's no mystery to that, none at all. We know exactly what did it. It is found over here in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. Beginning at the 1st verse. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, yea, God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat lest, or touch it lest ye die. And the serpent said, you shall not surely die. Now God said, you shall surely die. The serpent said, you shall not surely die. For God doth know, in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes are open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, the man and the woman said yes to Satan. They said no to God. They disapproved of God. They listened to the doctrine of Satan, which Paul says is the doctrine of devils, which doctrine is to change the word by adding or subtracting, or in any way changing it from its original intent, actually, as we saw in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, now watch the exact words. I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now remember, this woman was espoused to Adam, and she was a chaste virgin unto him at that time. Now watch. But I fear, as many means as a serpent beguiled you through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted. And that word is the same word that's used, what we have used so far. It means decay. It means to rot. In other words, it starts in the mind, receiving that which is corrupted, which in turn corrupts the entire mind, man, spiritually and physically bringing death and absolute decay. Now, back in the garden, there were only two of God's children, that's all. At one time, they were the entire group. He brought her to her and said, now, you're one. For this cause a man leaves father and mother, and you become one. So they were the entire group. And at that time, the entire group had one mind, which was the mind of God. But one of the two left the mind of God. So no longer was there one head. True headship of God was gone. The wisdom of God was flaunted, but the power of God could not be denied. Now that's exactly where the world is today. See? Nobody denies the power of God when it comes to this religion. And remember, the whore is not communism. That's atheism. The whore is a church. In her is the blood of all the martyrs. The communists don't have the blood of all the martyrs. That's a lot of hogwash. Communism is the 20th century doctrine. This goes back to the first century. It's a church. A woman. And in her is the blood of all the martyrs. Now, the church does not deny the power of God. What the church denies is the wisdom of God. See? Denying the mind of God. Now that did it. Now, we're going to go to marriage and divorce. And I want to read certain passages. Starting with marriage and divorce, page 15. The ninth, that's the bottom of the page, because these aren't numbered. If Jesus said, go back to the beginning, there was only one pair of anything on earth. There was one Adam, one Eve. They were joined by God alone. See, now notice what separated them. She left the wisdom of God. Right then, there was separation. One female horse, one male, female parrot, one male. At the beginning, as he told us to go back, there was only one pair of anything. Is that true? Then we find out that everything in the beginning was running in perfect order and harmony with God. Nothing was out of cater. Everything in heaven is still in order. All the stars, the galaxy, solar system, everything is perfectly in order. One of them move and interrupt the whole program. Now listen. Do you see? One interruption spoils the entire program. Now, when human beings was running in continuity with God, with one man and one woman, this woman sinned. And it throwed the whole earthly program out of continuity with God. Therefore, one word added to this book or one word taken from it throws a Christian out of continuity with God. Throws the church out of continuity with God. Throws the family out of continuity with God. Every believer can be thrown out by not accepting every word of God. Then it was the woman that caused the separation of the lovely home. It was not a cherubim that bothered the earth. It was not Adam that throwed the home out. It was not anything else that throwed the home out and throwed the whole thing out of continuity to woman Eve. And it is here that Jesus spoke of in the beginning that was broken. He said, at the beginning God made one male, one female of each kind. And now when this woman, not the female horse, not the female dog, not the but the woman, she broke the entire continuity of God's operation in the earth and throwed everything into death. The woman, not the man. She broke the covenant. She broke the covenant. Because why? She stepped across the borders of God's word. Now, if she broke covenant with her husband, she broke the covenant with God, then because she broke the covenant with God, she broke it with her husband. When you break your promise and your covenant to God's word, that's what caused so many illegitimate church members, because a group of men got together and said, well, it didn't mean that, and throws the whole organization out of continuity with the word. Oh, we don't believe that Dr. Jones said it wasn't so-and-so, but as long as God said it's so-and-so. He said, let every man's be a word, a word be alive, but mind the truth. There breaks the continuity. Yeah, I'm sure where I want to go to. That's nine. Okay, that's about what we need to go to then. It says here, then, the continuity is broken. The whole thing is completely gone. Now, so, But you let God's children, now notice what happens, see, they left that one mind, threw the whole thing into out of continuity. Now, I can read a little further. Now, seeing the continuity is broken, then the lifeline was broken, the timeline was broken, the covenant broken, everything shattered. What caused it? A woman. Now, I'm not dealing on the woman doing this, so get that out of your mind. I'm dealing on the word, see. Because the woman never would have done it outside breaking that word, see. That's what broke the covenant. Now, did you know that Satan was co-equal with God one day? He sure was. All but a creator. He was everything. Stood in the right hand of God in heaven, a great leader, leading the cherubim. Now, notice the reason she did this. And then he explains certain things in there. All right. Now, let's look at God's children, his bride. Get one mind of faith in a truly revealed word brought by God and revealed by God. Death will reverse. Now, see, I was trying to show you here is where this whole thing came from. See? Now, if you ever get it back to where it was in the beginning, because that's what his messages were all about. Go back to the beginning, which we are going back to. Then the whole thing reverses and something else happens. The incorruptible and uncorrupted word will take hold and death will be gone forever. When absolute faith from absolute revelation takes over the bride, the corruptible and corrupting is done for, and every evidence of unbelief, which is sin, which is death, is gone. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15:23. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his presence. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till all enemies are under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now let's watch over here, just before we go back reading. And in the 50th verse of the same chapter, now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So therefore, there has got to come the time of his presence and between this kingdom on earth, this incorrupting. There has got to be the time when there is a resurrection and a change. Now watch. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Now that's the Father. When the Father shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he's put all enemies under the feet of Jesus. The last enemy that... Now some of you folk don't... You've never heard me read the Bible this way, so this can be confusing to you. That's because you're confused. If you'd been deep confused, you wouldn't be confused. But you've read this wrong so many years, you don't even know what's going on. Not to hurt anybody's feeling, but that's the trouble. See, because God can't put God under his feet. And go back to the Psalms where it's written. It's God putting everything under the feet of Jesus. So let's read it that way. So then who came down? God came down. See? To get a bride ready for the marriage supper so they could come down together and take over. Incorruptible. And even that's not all of it. Because after 1,000 years, there's going to be a white throne resurrection. The bride sits right there with him, judges the whole thing. See? The last enemy destroyed is death. And swallowing up is not destruction, this is the lake of fire. For he hath put all things under his feet. Who put all things under his feet? God put all things under the feet of Jesus. Oh, you say Jesus and God are the same person. I've been accused of preaching two gods. The God that accused me, he had to be Jesus only. I want to read you what Brother Branham said. Hebrews book, page 292. Now Jesus was made like unto him. Now the reason there's a difference between Jesus and God. Well, what about? Somebody's all scribbled up in their reason. It's sure not me.
Jesus had a beginning. God had no beginning. Melchizedek had no beginning, and Jesus had a beginning. But Jesus was made like unto him, a priest that abides forever. It says made like unto. I don't care what you have believed in the past. You better start believing right. You can't even read this right unless you know what's going on here. I'm going to tell you, you people here sitting here, each one of you is nothing but your father and mother of a combination. But you still need your father and mother. You're from their attributes. And Jesus was a complete complement of the attributes of Almighty God. The infinite. And it's His body. God's body. That's why God can literally be a high priest. How? When He's incarnated. Says there's a difference. Oh, you think these old doctrines don't hang? Well, I mean, my message isn't that. But I'm going to preach these things. Don't you think I won't? Because I don't know how many people sitting here, you got a background, my God knows where from what. And you're reading books on the side. I'm going to tell you one thing. Don't read books and listen to people on the side contrary to what I say. Or you're going to get more and more confused. Just do yourself a favor. Plug your ears. Don't listen. Don't bother. Don't bother. Just don't bother. I'm telling you flat. Just don't bother. I'm not hurting anybody's feelings. But look, I know the power of wrong theology. Because I can take an unregenerate Roman Catholic and just let him read the books. And right now he knows exactly what Brother Branham was saying. But you take a Protestant that's all gommed up with his cruddy theology. He no more knows this than nothing. And every time the sticky with your toe sticking out of your shoes is some kind of a sex report instead of Brother Brand, roll them, girlies, roll them up on the knees. How in the Sam Hill do you ever get the knees up to the toe and the knees all one thing? So much for cockeyed doctrine. Well, come on. I'd get steamed up, certainly. If you weren't here, I wouldn't get steamed up. People don't like my language. They think it's horrible. Maybe my language is horrible. Maybe my language gets across. I'll teach you to cuss or anything. I don't use bad words up here as you people think I do. You say Sam Hill, Brother Brown said heck. Supposed to be the same thing. Preacher told me years ago, he said, old Brother Bailey said saying heck is hell. Listen, Bible text, I might cuss to high heaven one time. When I used to cuss, I involved God in my cussing. Personally, I involved God. I said, don't ever tell me if a man says heck, it means hell, because it doesn't. And don't ever tell me if a guy says gosh, it means God. I said, because it doesn't. It all depends on what's in here. Because when I said God and I was mad, I meant God. And I hate them. Yeah, let's get understanding. I'm not defending myself. Sure, it's kind of rotten language. If you get stumbled to that, goodbye. You've had it. The last enemy is death, and he, God, hath put all things under the feet of Jesus. But when he says he, God, hath put all things under Jesus, it is manifested that he, God, is left out, which God did put all things under Jesus. Do you think that God is ever under Jesus? When he said, only what I see him do, I do, and whatever I hear him say, does that make God under Jesus? That makes Jesus under God. Righteous servant. Who's that? God or Jesus? That's Jesus. And who's going to put under whom? This is him coming down here to get this kingdom ready. Because he said, thou art a priest forever. A king priest. The throne of David you're going to sit. And I'm going to see that. I'm going to raise up the seat. God talking to himself? Hogwash. Jesus only claptrap and balderdash. Don't give me that nonsense. Don't clutter the atmosphere with foolish, specious arguments. Vain theology. Now listen, this is what's going on now. Now, you know something? Every one of these words that signify subdue, subject, put under, footstool, has the same root word, which comes from the same word in the Greek, which is shout. It has to do with military command. It's a military order. Who's doing it? The Great One. The Great One that stands behind His Word to perform it. Do you think God just sat down and said, well, now watch it work? Not exactly. He saw that it did work. He stands behind His Word to perform it. Now, He's left out. But when all things shall be subdued unto the Son, then shall the Son also be subject. Again, it's the same word. In the proper position placed. The proper authority. That's why God's placing the bride right now. Because you can't have the kingdom without the bride. You can't have this earth changed. It's waiting and groaning for our change. See? Waiting on a revelation. Put all things under Him. Be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God might be all in all. Now the Son also shall have His own authoritative position under God, that put all things under the Son, that God might be all in all. That's at the New Jerusalem. The Lamb is on the throne. The New Jerusalem, 1,500-mile pyramidal city. Gold, housing the bride. Billions bring their glory in, but never a part of it. They till the fields, everything else. Why do you think the world's had a pyramid down here in South America, in Egypt, and around the world, signifying the New Jerusalem? Why is the capstone off? Because no man could ever fill it. You let that bride be caught up. New Jerusalem. The Lamb is going to fill the spot on the throne. The pillar of fire over the throne. But they're one. And in that day, Brother Branham said, before they call, He answers. The wolf lies down with the lamb. All of these things are taking place. Why? Because God has started the process of New Jerusalem by coming down. Oh. But no, you aren't going to get people to say, oh, I've been here 2,000 years over this. Why didn't He raise the dead then 2,000 years ago? He's supposed to raise the dead. Well, you can't tell them anything. What's the use? No use talking. Let them talk about it. See? Now, let's go see marriage and divorce. Page 26. 4 and 5. All His works that He designed, the original is in continuity. All His original works was in continuity. The female dog, male dog. Female cow, male cow. Everything continuity. All nature's in continuity. Seed die, going to the ground just like death, burial, resurrections. Sap goes down the tree, drops the leaf, come back next year with the resurrection, new leaf. See, I mean, everything, even nature of God is all in continuity in one. There's one designed out of the, here's one designed out of the continuity of God. That's, I guess, talking about Eve. Nature is so designed it can't sin. Think. The original creation of God could not sin. Oh, don't you see it now in this view here, the perversion of the church? The original is God's Word. There's no sin in God. Now, see what we're talking about. We're not talking anymore in terms of one person. We're talking about one word out amongst the whole bride. Now, Genesis 38:5-6. That's why He said to Adam before sex was induced or introduced, multiply, replenish the earth. When He was yet in the beginning, when He was both male and female in Himself, there it shows then the bride got to come from the Word by spiritual multiplication. Replenish the earth. Now in the sixth act, see, the school's got these two things mixed up. Therefore, you can't do it. You've got to bring it back to the truth in the beginning. At the end, there'll only be one Lord Jesus and His bride singular. You get it? There's one David on one throne. One king after God's own heart. 500 wives. Jesus sitting on His throne, hallelujah, in the millennium. With a wife like it was at the beginning, created out of the earth by the hand of the Almighty God in the resurrection of many members. But they're all one, see? There you are. Now, page 45 and 4. Now watch. When you got a direct revelation from God, that's your wife. I read the first part of the paragraph. This is an awful strong thing. I don't know how to bring it out. What will I do when I got a man and woman sitting in my congregation? I've been married 2 and 3 times. Good men, good women, all mixed up. What done it? False teaching. Exactly. Not waiting on the Lord. Not waiting on the Lord. Not waiting on the Lord. What do you wait on? Sex impulse. Now let this sink in. Because here's what my understanding of marriage and divorce or marriage is all about. Is right what we're going to talk about here. And I'm not even the subject. This is immortality. And remember, Adam and Eve at one time were in a state of immortality in the sense they could have stayed there on and on and on and on and on, but not true immortality. They were made, they could corrupt, and they did. This is where nothing will corrupt. Good men and good women all mixed up. What done it? False teaching, exactly. Not waiting on the Lord. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Now, he's talking about waiting on the Lord. So waiting on the Lord has got something to do with who puts what together, right? Not what man joined together, what God joined together. When you got a direct revelation from God, that's T-H-A-T posthumous, that is your wife. And the same thing, she got a revelation that that's the husband. That's yours the rest of your life. But what if you didn't get it? And you ain't got it. In other words, Eve had a haphazard liaison with the serpent. Sexual. Sexual motivation. So Brother Branagh screamed out against the sex queens all the time. He said, watch it, because you're made to be that kind of a man. She's made to be that kind of woman. That's where you're going to fall every single time. Now it says, you've got to pray to God to get a revelation, whether that is your wife, and she gets a revelation that that is her husband. That is what God joins together and man cannot put apart. But what God joins together, no man better dare touch it. Whatsoever God joins. He said, let no man put asunder. Not what some half-drunk magistrate or something else put together, or some backslidden preacher with a bunch of creeds in a book. Now, let's read it again. Because your minds are off what I'm on to. You, not waiting on the Lord. False teaching. God's got to join together. When you got a direct revelation from God on this word. That's right. You have a direct revelation to God. And it's been God revealed. You will be one with God and with this word. And there's no other way it's going to happen. Now, I cannot give you a revelation. I don't care how hard I teach. I don't care how sincere anybody is. There is nobody can give anybody the definitive, pure marriage relationship of God, the Word, except God, the Word, by the Holy Spirit, which He is. Now, this is what was wrong in the beginning. What God had joined together and said, now this is the union. It was based upon the Word that she was the one and he was the one for each other. But what brought a separation? Breaking the Word. See, breaking the Word. Now, the Word is broken through a wrong revelation. And from it, as Brother Branham in Marriage and Divorce said, the lifeline was broken, the timeline was broken, the righteous line was broken, everything was broken, we have had nothing but corruption. What is going to reform it, but cause it to cease? Only when it gets back to original. When there is a bride and a groom. Now look it. He's already had the revelation of whose is our, because whom the Father gives are going to come. But Brother Branham said, oh my, I don't think I got this one copied down in the back of my Bible here. It's from the Feast of the Trumpets. Send the other notes. Oh, anyway, it says, and how it said in the last days that the bride would know her mate, the revealed word. It's not a quote, I guess, I put in here. Some of them I got some places, some another place. But anyway, that's the understanding. It is the definitive revelation of this word that brings us back to the incorruptible. At that time, the bride will be immortal. Now, let us take a good look what does it in the final hour. We go to Revelation chapter 22, and I think your heat's up higher than it should be because it's getting up here pretty hot now. So you must be fairly hot down below. Okay. Verse 10, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now, that has to do with Revelation 10 and 4, seal the book. But in the days of the voice of the seventh church angel, when he sounds, time runs out. He that is unjust still. He that is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. Now, of course, Brother Branham said that's when the bride is lifted off the earth. That is true. But I want to ask you a question. Isn't it got to be true before she's lifted off the earth? Or how's she going to make it? See, he said everything the bride needs to put her in that rapture is under the seven seals, so the seventh seal does it. The seven seals. Now, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me. Now, remember, verse 12 follows verse 11. So your die is cast. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. All right. What does he say next? Blessed are they that wash their robes and have the right to the tree of life. Where did that happen? Right back in Genesis. What was he first there? He was the tree of life, and he said, you're not going to be immortal. Now he is the Omega. And he said, I am the tree of life, and you will be immortal. What did it? The revelation of Jesus Christ, my brother, sister, did it. That's what it's all about. And he is the Word. So, when the man has a true revelation, which he already has, then the woman getting the true revelation of her husband. That's the espousal. And that's what Paul had. And every age has had just enough to get them there. Don't destroy the oil and the wine. No matter what goes on, just keep a little revelation. Keep a little stimulation. Keep a little faith moving. But when it comes to Alpha and Omega, it comes back to the original. Where the tree of life, immortality. Christ is now available. The bride tree is now available. He is available. He's available now. And it's by revelation that the bride knows her mate, the revealed word. Now she's got a revelation of her husband. She's joined to God. Now what did I read over here a little while ago? Well, that's the trouble with notes, instead of a good memory. Let's try 38, marriage and divorce. I don't see it. Let's try a little different. Let's go back to 26. Oh, don't you see it in this view now, the perverted church? The original is God's Word. There is no sin in God. All right. Death, where is your sting? Okay, let's go read it. So we know what we're talking about. Because I sure don't know what I'm talking about. Let's read the scripture. My memory's lousy. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. All right. The sting of death. Death gets its authority and power through sin. All right. Well, tell me you haven't got enough brains to keep the page in the right place. I don't have enough brains to even get the page right. Okay. The original is God's Word. There is no death in God's Word. There is death in changing God's Word. Okay? Now, there is no sin in God. And He is the Word. So therefore, what is being put on? The garment. Literally, the Holy Spirit. Because that's the Word, God. Is being put on the people. Not from rebirth. This is a separate and entire work of God Himself. The bride. Let me read. Well, I'll get to later on. As a whole. She is being clothed with God Himself, the Word. And she's putting on immortality. And in there is no death. In there is no sin. Now, the strength of sin is the law. And the law says, you did it. But grace said, you didn't do it. You were tricked into it. Therefore, you are free. Now, let's go back to Revelation we're reading again. We got pulled away. Back to the tree of life. Outsider dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, who love and make a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my messenger to testify to these things to the churches. I'm the root and offspring of David. The bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Him that's athirst, come. Whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I testify to every man that hears the prophecy words of this book. If any man add, God will add the place. If any man take, he'll take out his part. Now remember, that was only said at the time of Exodus of Moses when the word was given. There's only one time you can ever add or take. And that's at the time of an Exodus. And the word has got to be given. Then it's got to be a prophet like unto Moses. And at this time, it's the last chapter, the last verses in the Bible. And it means there's no more. It's the last time the word is given. It's given to the Gentiles. Now, listen. Back to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, trump of God. Now, we know it is in there, what we're talking about. See? It's in here that death is swallowed up. It is in here at the time of the living. That people stop dying. It is here that bodily processes reverse. And are changed, and man becomes immortal. It is here that death loses its sting. In other words, the culmination of the atonement. And I speak of culmination in the sense of the vast propitiatory powers of the blood. Until it scatters sin, there be no evidence. Until it washes the bride through the word so white, She hasn't got a spot or a wrinkle. And there's no place for her to go but heaven. See? All right, it's in here that Paul is giving the consequences, but not the processes. So, we have to go to Ephesians. I haven't been there. You know, I preached on this for months, and I haven't finished it yet. Don't worry. I'll get back to it. Now, these people already got the Holy Ghost. Individually. They form a local church. Under one word. Doesn't mean everybody had it. Wherefore also after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Now faith and love. Remember the love is going to come into the church just before the rapture. Before the resurrection. Cease not to give thanks you making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give unto the church. What? The spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. In other words, there is a revelation that is to be forthcoming at a certain time by a certain spirit. It'll be the knowledge of God. It will do this. The eyes of the understanding will be enlightened. That's the eyes of the heart. From it you will know what is the hope of His calling. The riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe and are living? According to the work of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. The same transforming power of the Holy Spirit will be loosed upon us under conditions that are set forth in this word. That the Spirit is there revealing to a bride. That she may know her mate, the revealed word. And then they say He's not here. I don't buy it. And sneer and say, well, He's been here for 2,000 years. Well, then Paul's a jackass. I got news for Apostle Paul. Said, you folk got the Holy Ghost. What's wrong about this? I'd like some answers from these guys that got all the answers. How many times, when you try to teach a prophet, you're very stupid. And I don't think you're too smart if you try to teach a man who's got a gift of teaching either. And I'm not very bright. And I don't say that to aggrandize myself. I want them to show me, and I'm sincere. They can't do it. I want to know why a kid that's hardly tired, maybe almost imbecilic, knows what the word down means. But they don't know what the word down means. It means he's caught up there somewhere. Remind me of a guy, he was out in the trees, this is the truth, he's out there somewhere looking around and he heard this voice. And he couldn't figure the voice, he looked around, finally the voice said, look up here. There was a poor guy caught in the parachute up in the trees. Do you think that guy was down? Well, he was down as far as the atmosphere was concerned, but down, he wasn't down. Well, in the place where it tells you Jesus comes down to the clouds, he tells you he comes down to the clouds. But the Holy Ghost, in as far as I know, in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, said He came down. I want to know, where was Brother Branham when He came down? Where was Paul when He came down? Where was Moses when He came down? They haven't got very good answers, have they? Now it says, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him in His own right hand in heavenly places. Who took the body up? God did. Who got it out of the grave? God did. What word got Him out of the grave? The revealed word of the hour got Him out of the grave. Do you think if Jesus had been some imposter like these guys say that God would have raised Him? Do you think God's going to raise a harlot? What's it telling you? It's telling you right here at the end time, there is a revelation. When that spirit comes into the church. That's why people aren't putting it together. The prophet put it together. I told you what he said here in Daniel 7 week. He said the spirit of wisdom comes into the church. to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, bringing the church in and revealing what day we're living in. You say, that's like a lot of hogwash. That doesn't make sense. It sure does make sense because it tells you what the Spirit's here for, to bring the church in. And the church only comes in by revelation. They say they believe a prophet. They want to believe a prophet. The same prophet said, we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, by our assembling. He's got to be here to assemble unto Him. Because we're not there. He's here. And how does He gather us? Through prophets. Now, if they knew the Word, the one who is the Word, they'd know that. So that takes us back to Acts, the 3rd chapter. You know what I'm going to read there? Beginning in verse 19, the last part. It says, times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That which is visible. Even He, God, shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed, proclaimed in advance, made known. Whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things. You think Brother Branham didn't make Him known to us? Sure did. You think He's going to come in the physical flesh until there's a restoration? No way. Now watch. The heavens must retain, which God spoke, until there be a restoration of all things which God spoke by the mouth of all the holy prophets and word began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the prophets of the Lord God raised up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him you'll hear in all things, whatever He'll say. Now listen, it'll come to pass that every soul that not hear that prophet will be destroyed among the people. Now let's get this down flat. That never happened back in the days of Jesus. Never did. When's it going to happen? When Malachi 4 takes place. Utter destruction. That means utter annihilation. Right there. Shall be destroyed. Utterly destroyed. The same as Malachi. Utter destruction. And we're going to trample them down. His ashes under our feet when the great confrontation comes. I didn't write the book. God, I'm not bloodthirsty. Don't worry. I've got no stomach for it right now, but I will then. Right now, I just get mad at things and say some pretty raunchy things. But when it comes right down, I wouldn't want to really hurt anybody. I'd like to burn up his works, but not him. Of course, a blowtorch made him jump a little higher would be all right, too. Make me jump a little higher, too. It's all right. Wouldn't hurt any of us. Wouldn't hurt any of us. Get a shot in the seat with a blowtorch if we need it. Because we're pretty raunchy. But I wouldn't want to go any further than that. Just a little singe. But I'm going to tell you, the day's coming, brother, sister, and that's all going to change. You're not be bloodthirsty. But there was a day when Moses stood and he said, Lord God, he said, take them all. Take me with him. He take them. One day he stood there and he said, listen, he said, if those men die the common death, he said, I forget it. Yeah, he sure did. I'm not saying I'm Moses. I'm not saying I'm Moses. I'm trying to tell you something here. This did not happen when Jesus died, but he said, there is coming a day when you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, it's all over. That day is this day. When He's come back as prophet, Son of Man. For the days of the Son of Man repeat, the days of the prophet repeat that absolutely thus saith Almighty God in His Holy Scripture, and men still look around and they say, well, that's just some cute little thing he's saying. But you tell him those days got to be back here and he's back here doing it. And they look at you. So now, hold it. That doesn't line up with my theology. What do you care about your stinking, corrupt, debt-dealing theology? The prophet already told you. I'll have to find it for you. Didn't write it down. He said, my ministry is to reveal that He is here. And they say he's been here for 2,000 years. You mean Dr. John Lake didn't have a satisfactory ministry of his day? You mean Luther didn't have a ministry of his day? and Wesley? And the Pentecostals? And now William Branham's going to strut on the stage. I'm here to let you know that He is here. I said, what is it? It's just a minute, you little hillbilly from Kentucky. There's not one person that hasn't known he's been here. Oh, well, you see, I have something very special. Hey,
Here's a pen. Think of something very special by telling me, Lee, you got a pen in your hand. Come on. You feel pretty sick, don't you? Brother Branham categorically said, just think how wonderful. The same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. That hasn't been for 2,000 years that God spoke lip to ear to a prophet. I don't know what they're talking about. They're not talking this language. Says here, come to pass, everyone that doesn't hear is destroyed. Now, in verse 22, it says, him shall you hear. Then it says, they that don't listen will be destroyed. That means only those that hear are left. So we better not quit listening. Better keep it up. Remember, hearing is the key. Okay. Hearing is the key, right? You really believe it? All right. Let's go to Matthew 16. 13, they came to him and he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I'll build my church upon revelation. And in verse 22, and Jesus began to show how he would be killed and raised again. And Peter said, far be it from thee, Lord, this shall not be. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, Satan, get thee behind me. Yeah. How'd you like to have that one? One day God, next day the devil. Not next day, within 5 minutes. Ask you a question. I won't ask a question. I'm going to read Luke 17. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. Fella used to, fella, when Brother Branham came to West Palm Beach, God made him come, or he wouldn't have come, don't worry. I never even asked him. When he said he's going to come, I didn't believe him. That's much faith I had. I just thought, he's a sweet guy. He says that to everybody. But he didn't. I didn't know that at that time. I didn't know he hated Florida. I can't stand it either. Not because William Branham couldn't. I just couldn't stand it. Too much hot weather down there, muggy. If the criminals don't muggy, the weather does. And a mess. You just get mugged every place, no matter which way you go. So they came, this fella came and I phoned him and I said, Brother Branham's coming to town. Would you like to cooperate? He said, well, he said, sir, he said, I've got a meeting down here going to be on at that time. He said, I couldn't cooperate. Well, I said, wonderful, praise God, hung up. His church members found out Brother Branham's coming. They said, cancel your meeting, boy, you ain't got a church. So from that time on, he was going to really get to see Brother Branham. So finally he phoned and phoned and phoned. The last thing he said with me was, he said, well, I'll have you know. He said, I'm not some little preacher down here by the side of the road. I'm so-and-so and so-and-so. So I thought, well, I better convey this to Brother Branham. And I told Brother Branham, look, he said, oh, Lee, he said, we can't go for sure now. I said, why? Well, he said, he's too big for little guys like you and me. So these Pharisees came. I want you to know. He said, I said, I'm runner up for the high priest. He said, I've got degrees in this here seminary. And Jesus said, what are they, hot or cold? I bet they're lukewarm. He said, did you say cemetery? I can just see them coming. You know, if you got the answers and you're so-and-so, when's the kingdom of God going to come? Why, he said, it's going to come and you won't even know it's here. So I got news for you. Don't weary yourself running to trying to find out about it. Because it's under your nose and you can't see it now. If it ever comes to be under your nose, you won't see it even then. You turn to disciples and said, the days are you're going to desire to see one of the days, the Son of Man, you'll not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, see there, don't follow them. He said, I'm going to tell you what those days are like. It's light. Going from one part of heaven to the other. Light shining. Divine light. As Brother Branham said, from the east to the west. Notice he must suffer first and be rejected. But as it was in the days of Noah, those days come back. As it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, those days come back. Now who was there? God was there with his prophet. God was present.
See?
Now, we're back to Revelation. See, who is this Son of Man? Only one Son of Man. The one that's become Son of God. He is Holy Spirit to us. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He's here in the Spirit revealing what he, that he's the same one who was here in the flesh. Revealing that he was that Melchizedek. Revealing exactly who he was. Now, he says here, when those days repeat, they're simply going to go on eating and drinking. It'll make you know, never mind. As in the days of Lot, filled with all homosexuality, when the angel struck them blind, they still tried to find the door to find the man. They didn't even know they were blind. Perverts have been struck blind by this message. And nobody knew it. Now, just a minute, somebody's going to know it. Who? The bride will know her mate, the revealed word. Now, that's union. Hit him. Now, I'm reading again. See? Oh, don't you see now in this view here the perversion of the church? The original is God's word. There is no sin in God. Every symptom shows back what was in the mind of God. See? Now, we're looking at this bride of this hour. Turn back to the place where she is able to put on immortality. Now, 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. And we'll get out of here quick as we can. I know time goes on, but look, so what? As you. Verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that in part should be done away. Okay. Just hold your fingers there a minute. Swing over to first to Ephesians 1. All right. Verses 3 to 14 is from eternity to eternity concerning the election who are filled with the Holy Ghost who receive the kingdom. Now, verse 11, 10:11, brings us to the kingdom. 13 and 14 guarantee it by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. But 17 to 23 is the implementation. Now, I don't understand why people think that God doesn't have to implement things. Oh, they say, well, Brother Bale, hallelujah. You see, bless God, we were foreknown, predestinated, and we have the Holy Ghost, and that'll take care of everything, because just the same, we'll go to the ground, and we'll come up out of the ground, and those living, they'll be changed, and we'll just get taken on, and I say, now, just a minute. Just a minute. You've got something lined up here that you're telling me is just going to run a natural course. Now, I got news for you. You say they're simply going to come out of the ground because they're full of the Holy Ghost. I'm calling you a liar. I'm telling you that God is going to raise them. And that the Holy Spirit being there and God raising you is not a consequence. No way. It's that God Himself wanted to raise you and therefore gave you the Holy Ghost in order to raise you. Or you never would have been raised. Now, Ephesians takes you right from the beginning in Him, before this speck of stardust, to the incorruptible, incorruptible inheritance that fadeth not away. The purpose of God. And it stops right there and tells you that the baptism with the Holy Ghost guarantees your redemption. Then it tells you how God is going to bring in the kingdom. Now, implementation. Cease not to give thanks that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, going to grant you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of Him. The eyes of your heart being enlightened. And you will know the hope of His calling. The riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Notice that's His, not yours. Over here is yours in verse 11. This is His. Now the word inheritance, don't let it bug you. Only one place does the word inheritance mean that which is passed on from the Father to the Son, and that's in Hebrews where He got the name. This here is possession. The word inheritance means possession. Now, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him? Now, that's not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. That comes to raise you because it was meant to raise you in the plan of God, and you never make it without the baptism. But the baptism runs out. See? Now, here's what looking at. There it is. I hope you get what I've been saying. And sometimes I stop short of maybe carrying on a line of thought you might need to know. There is that bride that has the mind of Christ right here because of the revelation. She is now back to Ephesians 4. One body, one spirit. Even if you've got one hope in your calling. Verse 5, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all, above all, and through all. Now, what happened? He ascended, then descended, came forth in ministries to perfect the saints. Work of the ministry. Edify the body of Christ. Till we come into unity. The knowledge of the Son of God. On the perfect stature of the fullness of, of Christ. Listen. Henceforth no more children. Adults. The fullness of the adoption comes in the resurrection. We're getting ready for it. How? No more children tossed to and fro. Care about every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men. Cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But holding the truth in love, grown to Him in all things which is Christ. Now notice. Wind of doctrine. Now if that word wind is the same word that's used in the entire Bible, which I think it is, pneuma, is spirit. Every spirit of doctrine. They say, Brother Vail, do you think you can take liberties? Oh, I think I can. No trouble at all. If you're especially, if you got my kind of faith. Listen, I'm just kidding you right there, brother. So I know what I'm talking about. I wouldn't be talking. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together in Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, wind, or by word, nor by letter. No spirit gets in amongst you to give you a false doctrine. You say, did that happen back there? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Let's go to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And it says here, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? What spirit got in that church? An anti-revelation resurrection spirit. Could there be an anti-present spirit in this church? I just offer the question just off the top of my head as I just suddenly felt it. I should. Every wind of doctrine? Where was the first? Where did death enter? A spirit came in the garden in an animal. Into a beast. The spirit is the devil. And he transformed himself into an angel light and corrupted the word. And she took the corrupted word, and from the minute she was out from behind the word, she was a gone goose. Why are women messed up today? I'm not fussing at women. I feel terribly sorry for them, like Brother Branham did. He He admitted he had a bit of a complex toward them because of what he'd seen, but he wasn't preaching from complexes any more than I am. Where did women get off the track? They got out from behind the Word, that's all. When they were keepers of the home, except in emergencies where they had to work, which is fine. There's no big problem there, which at times, that many times they don't have to work, and they do anyway, but there are times when they have to help the husband, like it somehow suggests in the 30th chapter of Proverbs, the woman that gets up early and does all this work. Man, I just think a guy that had a wife like that, he'd just stay home and just, you know, write the checks. But I don't think that was referring exactly to a single woman doing something like that. It might have been the bride of Christ you're talking about, what a great woman she is. But anyway, woman got from behind the Word, see, when she was to be keeper in the home and things like that, you know, dressed like a woman's supposed to, not cut her hair. And this is where she's finally gone to the place where I feel sorry for her, because there's only one thing that can happen now with homosexuality. Sexuality's come into the world. A lot of it has to do with women. There's no two ways about it. The roles they've assumed, which then again, I don't blame them, because a lot of it has to do with the man. As somebody said, where was Adam when she was out talking to the serpent? Well, that's not a fair question, you know, but the thing is, man has a lot to blame for women, but where is the woman today, you see? Completely messed up until now. The men have rectal cancers, which cannot be cured, and women are spreading herpes, and the only thing left is burning. You know, I feel sorry for them, but how you destroy diseases except by fire? You know, it's a pitiful situation. As I say, I feel very sorry for the woman who types the church in this particular respect, because there is she was deceived by a doctrine. She was deceived by a spirit's doctrine. See? And she was fooled. And it says, the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now listen. There can't be a deception or a lie on first there's a truth. Because a lie is the truth distorted. See? So what you've got here is the devil came. A spirit came. And spirits come to the church and they preach their doctrines. But at the end time, this spirit rises up in the church. God himself comes. Now he's got to come, brother, sister. It was he that started redemption in the Garden of Eden. It is he that has got to finish it. Now look, before redemption was necessary, God gave the Word. Now, it was broken. God comes right on the scene. Takes over. What's he going to do at the end? Come over, take over, come right in the scene. So okay, at the end time. Here is what Paul is saying to the Ephesian church in the first chapter. This Spirit comes into the church through the prophet, through the ministry, brings the church right to the place of maturity. And maturity is when the church understands Melchizedek and priesthood, understands marriage and divorce, understands serpent seed, understands all these mysteries that are there, understands his great presence and the things that Brother Branham taught us. Now, then they hold that truth in love. See? And they grow right up unto him. Not into him. Some say into, but that's not true. It's unto him. Now, let's watch the picture here, brother, sister. We've been growing up in the pyramid for 2,000 years. But very shortly, with this spirit of revelation in the church and what's happening to a bride, the dead are going to start coming out. Now then, the pyramid will be here at one time. Every person that was saved since Pentecost, that's in bride, will be standing right here on earth, and we're standing with them, we're all changed. And it'll be a perfect pyramid. Then the pyramid will reverse going up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. See? But the spirit having gone ahead, if it's set, and then up there it reverses. Who cares about reversing anything else? But I'm telling you how it works, because one goes up first, then 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Seven. And then seven, the whole church meets with him at the wedding supper, forming his pyramid. Of course, remember, when one goes up, the others coming up automatically form a series. Don't put too much upon a formation of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a series. Just realize the whole bride is going to be there. She will be there, and she will be there only because every single member is one with the head. Now that's where we're coming to right in this hour here. So here we are today piling word on word. Word on revealed word. Until the whole inner man is one complete, truly revealed word, and death reverses itself. Now watch it. We are not through. I want to make a point here so we must not miss it. Too many still claim or can't see that the presence is responsible for this. They can't understand a Luther, Wesley, and the others only had a potential of the Holy Spirit. And the corn, immortality, as Brother Branham put it, was available, but had not yet come to them. Now, let's go back here to Romans, the 8th chapter. And I'm not going to take the rest of my notes, I'm just going to close off here. Because you understand the point. Now it says here, Romans 8, 9 and 10. But if you're in the Spirit, but if you're in the flesh, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now watch. And if Christ be in you, and you are his, your body is still dead because of sin. Only your spirit has life. Because of righteousness. What about these people that aren't going to die? I see there's your question. This is why I keep throwing out. Give me the answers that I want. And I want the same answers the prophet gave us from this word. How can you bypass his presence? And say, well, he's always been here. It's not so. Being here as he was here through omniscience and omnipotence is not the same, what I'm talking about. I'm talking about him in his bride standing as the father amongst his children. As Brother Branham said, when that Holy Spirit that is amongst us becomes incarnated to us, be crowned in King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Brother Branham talks of that Spirit that's amongst us leaving the world. Now that's not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Although that is true. But remember, the 144,000 get the baptism. Well, they're still on earth. The 144,000 get a revelation, a direct visitation from him while the bride is left in the inner sanctum. She's at the wedding supper. So the picture is here, the body is dead because of sin. You're born again. The spirit is life because of righteousness. That means if you're dead, you're going to come back. You're going to be fine. But over here it tells you in the scripture how that we get our change. Now, in 2 Corinthians, it tells you, 3rd chapter, verse 18, we all with unveiled faces beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed in the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, that's been going on since the bride began her reversal under Wilther. God in the Spirit, by a measure of the Word, coming into the church in clouds of glory. Now, don't think that takes the fact we meet him in clouds of glory, because that's all right, too. But this glory that came under Luther outshone everything there was from the first century, the first church age, coming back. Now, the second outshone under Wesley. Luther, under Pentecost, the cloud of glory was greater. But under this, you're looking face to face. Now, those coming up who beheld any glory will be changed to this image. But as those that are standing here at the end time do not die and are changed into that image, for flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither corruption, incorruption, so therefore we get our change. And Paul said this ministry lies in the gospel. Now, Brother Branham went behind the curtain of time. And he said, I want to see him. They said, you can't see him. Well, he said, I tell you what. He said, it'd sure be nice to see him. Why don't I? Well, he said, you can't go to him. He's going to come to you. And when he does come to you, he's going to judge you by the word that you preach. Why? He said, I preach nothing but what Paul preached. And they said, we're resting on that. Now, Paul said right here, my gospel. He said here, this gospel that I preach, how's he put it? He said, we preach not ourselves, it's not mine, he said, but Jesus Christ. And yet he said it was his gospel in the sense that he brought it. Now watch, having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor hand the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man conscious sight of God. Now he tells you here, the same thing repeats at the end time. You know, you've been over this over and over this with me, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to find me that I'm not going to lay this down any more than Brother Branham lay down the fact that he was Elijah, which was to come, not even the very day he died, because he knew no matter how many times he said it, there'd be those who would not believe it or could not believe it. Neither will I stop preaching this, that I understand and see by the word of God right here, that we positively are going to the place of immortality because of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we see the corruptibility came, that rottenness, which came by changing one word, which changing one word is unbelief, which is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. The law nails it down and said, you did do it, didn't you do it? You cannot prove you didn't do it. But now at the end time, there comes a message of grace that said, little bride, you didn't even do it. That is true justification. You didn't even do it. Where's the records? Now, this is the relaxation we're walking in. This is the thing that Brother Branham had on October 23rd, 1964. When the storm was stopped in Colorado. And he hints it on tape. And you know he hints it on tape, but you never knew what he's hinting until I told you, because he told me. He said, from that moment, I have no sense of guilt. Now, that didn't mean for one minute that Brother Branham felt holy, or he felt wonderful, or he felt, hey, I've made it, I'm somebody. It's the same thing that I've got and you have got. If you understand and God has dealt with you the way he's dealt with me, and that is, you know that if you were to compare yourself, you see yourself rottener than ever, but there is a revelation. And the revelation is, I didn't do it. And that doesn't mean like you can go and do anything you want and say, well, I didn't do it. We're not talking of that two-soul hogwash that they try to bring on the people. And I'm not against two souls or four souls or six souls. I'm only against the junk that goes with it. And there aren't two souls anyway. They misunderstood what the prophet was saying. They just searched the whole thing they'd have found. But no, you got to jump the gun. See? Now look, nobody's saying for one minute that in the light of him, that you look at yourself and say, hey, I'm somebody. It isn't that. But you realize for the first time you see him, and you see him as the ultimate of redemption, which is the complete sin bearer. It's all over. It's all over. And at this point on the seal, he that is holy is holy, he that is just is just, and he that is filthy is filthy. And the die is cast. So when those dead come out of the ground, there is going to be a bride that is so thoroughly prevailed upon by that word, that all it's going to take is the dead to come out before the button is literally pressed to release what is already there. Amen. Now, a lot of people are looking for some momentary thing to come, and they're basing it all on the fact the Lord is in the shout. Woo! Just a great shout, like a scream maybe coming to heaven, and a great sudden thing happened. Let me tell you, brother, sister, my detractors can say all they want, and they can be as numerous as they want. But they cannot deny from the prophet's own teaching that the rapture is a progression. Amen. And it started way back when that one came down with the Ohio River. And he came down as he came to Moses to identify himself to a prophet and the prophet to the people. But he only came down and knocked at the door of the church. When the seals came and the seals put Brother Branham out 100% out of the church and put Christ 100% out of the church. And from that time on, he was knocking at the door and saying, open the door and he'll sup with me and I with you. And he said, listen, and as I have now got on my Father's throne, he was on the mercy seat before. And now with the full complex of a priestly after order of Melchizedek, the great one that at soon in the incarnation, which is to take place shortly, when we have got him as a bride, then he will be that great judge completely manifested. Right now, he's that only in spirit, forming into the judge, forming into the judge. But the minute he incarnates himself, he's absolute judge. You watch all judgment fall on this earth. They already started as a prelude. Then you watch. We've crowned him King of Kings. That means he's got all the authority to act as the King Judge. Come right back here to earth. Doesn't even have a trial with the Antichrist. He's already judged. Oh, you bet he is, Brother Sips. He's been exposed. He just comes down and just kills him. Just reduces him to ashes, the wicked with him, with them. The bride comes down and takes over. Now listen, this is in progress. See? Brother Branham said, all was talking of the glory that's past. All was talking of the glory that's to come. Well, then I'm going to tell you something. If I've learned one thing, I've learned the prophet. Maybe a little different from a lot of people do, because the simple things mean more to me than the complex things. So I can make a simple thing pretty complex if I want to. And I guess I do at times. I could make this more simple, I suppose, if I worked on it. But I've tried to tell you everything I can, weaving it back and forth and back and forth, to let you know something is going on. And I've seen it in the lives of men. I've seen it in their faces. And I don't look at people's faces to learn something, because that's exterior. It's got to be on the interior. But remember, the eyes do have a lot to do with the soul. And there is something going on. And I'll tell you what's going on, whether you believe it or not. It's immortality. Right. For Jesus stands here and he said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. Do you believe this? You better believe it. I believe it so strong to my detriment that I could will to die tomorrow morning. And I really wish I could. But I think I'm going to be one of those guys that get out of here alive. I don't know that I will. But you see, I don't have a promise to die. Now, those that don't believe he's here, they got a promise to die. That's fine by me. Now, that may sound facetious or very hard, but if you don't get what I'm saying, you weren't listening. Because the baptism with the Holy Ghost, my brother and my sister, that puts you in the resurrection on the grounds, you got to be dead. But the living receive a revelation. And that's where the eyes of your heart get an understanding. And that understanding is knowing your mate, the revealed word. And that's putting on God. That's that inner garment, that investment. I mean, that vestment. When is your investiture? And it's going on now. Why? Because the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. It's not his own voice. And a shout is a military command. And the military command is carrying over at his presence, wherein the dead are raised and bringing all things under his feet, and it's being carried over plumb into the millennium and past it. Now, how do you think that Jesus is going to have all things under his feet? Huh? As judge. Now, judge doesn't force anything. He just said, listen, this is what the country said. This is what the law said. Now, somebody's got to enforce it. That's the king enforces it. That's the government. Because God has no use for democracies. He has no use for oligarchies. He has no use even for what you might call worldly dictators, although that comes the closest. As Plato said, the best government is benevolent dictatorship. God has use for one thing only, theocracy, a theocratic government. So therefore, when he is incarnated, reincarnated, I'm asking you a question. Why are all things under his feet as he stands there? Because God put it there. As he said, listen, I'm not doing these things. It's God doing these things. I'm not saying these things. It's God doing those things. Yet they said, show us the Father. He said, haven't you understood you have seen him by looking at me? Who do you think's in me? Now, you got the same thing coming. I tell you, I just feel like screaming right now. Why? Don't ask me. I haven't said a thing to make me feel good, but suddenly something begins moving inside of me.
And I know I'm not lying to you. No, I don't lie to you. There's nothing to lie about. But that going so quickly to just the judge behind the doors who says, little bride, there's not a case against you. To where he puts on his physical attributes in flesh. And he said, it's too late. And the judgments are falling because he's been crowned king. And the judge stands there. King stands there. God stands there. The counselor. The everlasting father. The prince of peace. How's he going to get peace? Bring my enemies that I might destroy them. See, that's a bloodthirsty God. Listen, I'm not a bloodthirsty preacher. Show me where I go to your homes and boss you to do one thing about your kitchens or your anything in your house, your pictures. You men want nude pictures on your wall, that's your business. I wouldn't like it, but if your wives can tolerate it, I'm going to say too much at one time. I'm just using a bad example to let you know one thing. I don't go to your homes and tell you anything. You got to know on your own. You've got to learn to talk to God and know the things about what you should do and what you shouldn't do. It's no use asking me because I haven't got an answer for you. But let me tell you, there's something in here that answers to this word. And my one concern is to tell you what answers I believe in here, calling too deep, to try to help you all I can. Only one way I'm trying to help you, and that's by your faith. Look, if I wanted healing for your body, wanted for my body more, I'd just start working on it. But I'm not going to major on a minor any longer. I'm majoring only on one thing, and that is, what's under those seals gives me perfect rapturing faith. Gives you perfect rapturing faith. We're preaching His presence. Preaching Him that came down with one foot upon land and one upon the sea. The great covenant messenger Himself with the great prophet of this hour. And remember, in the Exodus, Moses had to die. And under the seventh seal, Brother Branham said, if I'm laying a foundation for that great one, he said, remember, I'll be gone when He's here. For I must decrease and He must increase. And I'm asking you, who's increasing? Let the torrential words from torrential mouths, from deluded spirits, inundate the world. We have heard one spirit from one mouth preach one word. That's enough for me.
Amen.
Certainly William Branham was a forerunner. And there's immortality on the scene today, brother, sister, because he is about to reincarnate himself. I'm glad that we know him as well as we do. Oh, there's a better day coming. Don't be discouraged. Look, get your hopes up. Some of you sit here a little discouraged. Look, don't be discouraged. Anybody should be discouraged. I should be discouraged more than anybody because I'm getting all the flack of all my past thrown on me. I asked for it, and I'm getting it. But you know, I got news for everybody. I will be standing here, and just before the dead come out of the ground, I will be that sweet person that I've always wanted to be. Then what will they say? Oh, Baal, he's too mean, he's too vulgar, he's too rotten. Well, I never denied that. Ask my wife, she'll agree with it, to a point. I still admit the two loves I can't understand, God love my wife love, although I think maybe I've been so good to her recently, she ought to love me or something like that. But I've been good to God. I've been good for God. Certainly. What will people say then? It doesn't matter. It's what He has said.
Amen.
Stand with what He said. Hold to God's unchanging hand, brother, sister. Don't be deceived by these voices in the church. Don't be deceived by these spirits that come in. Because there's where corruption lay. Incorruption is only in one place. That is God, who is His Word, and that which is perfect has come. We have the perfect revelation for this hour. We saw in part only. Today it is completion. And what is completion? The grain coming up out of the ground, because He is here. What more do you want? What more do you ask? There's nothing more except to go on. Amen. We've taken your time. Let's rise and be dismissed. Wednesday service, 7:30. Bring your questions. I might have question and answers. Bring them. Put them on a piece of paper. And we'll see what happens. We had a little time last Tuesday. That tape is available. It will not be released. Brother Evans can make up three or four, but just keep a record who gets them and then demand them back. No copying under any condition, because if I want that kind of tape out, I'll put it up myself. It does not lie in anybody's hands but my own to do with what is mine. So please keep that in mind. In other words, I'm a little stern right now because I don't want anyone to forget. I'm not fooling. You can take the tape, but you must bring it back and do not duplicate it. Just listen to it. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. Hopefully, Lord, that the people have not been overburdened, overextended, overweary. By the time we put in here to show that which is incorruptible is already on the scene, and that which is immortal is already on the scene, and there was only one incorruptible one who stood here, and that was our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even his body could not corrupt. And here we are now by the Holy Spirit putting on that incorruptible word which he was, and we being a part of him from the head on down, absolutely one word with him. Turn back, amen, turn back all the way back to the place of the children to the fathers wherein time has run out. And we know, Lord, that that means there's going to be a fire purging upon the earth. But the righteous, unto whom the Son of Righteousness arises, will go to immortality, treading down the wicked. Lord, we relish not the thoughts of treading down any wicked, but we relish the thoughts, Lord, of rising with healing in their wings upon us, and that immortality. And then, Lord, because we will have a different frame and everything different, we will be absolutely doing exactly right with you. For shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Amen and amen. Lord, there's a lot of things we just aren't in the Spirit too, because we know it's not the hour. But help us to be right in the Spirit to the things which is the hour. Not looking back and not looking forward, but seeing him who is invisible, brought into full view now, who alone has immortality, and gazing upon him become immortal. Hallelujah. Father, again, we pray for people here. There might be sick amongst us. Bless them, O God. We just pray that you'll touch them, because we know that your healing virtue has never left your, if you are, surely, Lord, we know, as the scripture so clearly tells us, that when you visit the Jews, they'll see the nail prints, and we don't have any record when that body is ever going to lose nail prints, and we know that's a part of the blood sacrifice, and under there were the words, by his stripes we have been healed, and the stripes will be there with the wounds, we do believe, and Lord, so therefore we know that in that tree of life, the healing for the nations, and there's healing for us now. So we pray, Lord, you'll encourage your people to to just begin to believe even more than ever in the solemn fact of the healing which lies for us. As the prophet told us, in him is no disease, in him is no sickness. I rise and take my stand in him and my confession with him, applying the token. And Lord, we do. We applied every way now. We applied on the grounds, Lord, that we are full of the Holy Ghost, and he himself who gave the Holy Spirit, great Father of all, is right here in our midst, and we praise you for it. And now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus.